whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. Have life everlasting. Have life everlasting. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For God did not send his Son into the world to bring condemnation, but rather that through the receiving of him life everlasting, have life everlasting, have life everlasting, have life everlasting, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Okay, let me open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for today, Lord. It's a full day, Lord. We had prayer this morning, and then actually I did a lot of studying this afternoon, Lord, setting up, and then being able to speak, and then coming here and being able to speak, Lord. So I thank you for the busy day, Lord. I really do. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And may everybody be edified, Lord, and be blessed. Whatever I do is always under the blood of the everlasting covenant that you made with us in Calvary, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And amen.
Okay, I want to teach in part two here. The first part is about healing the broken heart. Part two is freeing the mind. And then part three is walking with God as our Abba Father. So when we look at Luke 4:18, the ministry of the Lord, the first part is the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And the second part is he sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. We're going to look at tonight here to preach deliverance to the captives. So he comes to heal, the Lord was sent to heal our broken hearts. And then it says preach deliverance to the captives, and that deliverance is destroying strongholds. Now, when I first Lord led me into the healing the brokenhearted ministry, there was a certain amount of people that their hearts, they said, there was quite a few of them, there were some, that said their hearts were healed, but there was something else wrong. And all I could do was pray for the healing the broken heart, because that's all I knew. But when I studied the word, I saw that the mind was also involved in this. So then I began to pray for people to, their minds to be healed. And that was a big leap, folks, praying for both the heart healed and the mind set free. So that's automatic for me now when I'm ministering to people. It's automatic that not only do I pray for the healing of the broken heart, but I also pray for freedom in the mind, to break bondage in the mind. So it's most important we realize that it came for more than just to heal our broken hearts, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, crushed, or oppressed of the devil. That's what that bruised means. So the gospel there is forgiveness of sin and eternal life, healing the brokenhearted, deliverance up to the captives, and set at liberty those that are crushed. And this all can happen simultaneously. This is all part of salvation. I mean, healing our broken heart doesn't save us, but that's part of Christ being raised from the dead. So the gospel is Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And the Bible says that as Christ was raised by the glory of the Father, we also should walk in newness of life. And that newness of life is found in Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. We should walk in newness of life. And that newness of life is having our hearts healed, having our minds set free, being freed of being oppressed of the devil. That's the newness of life that the Bible talks about. So, and that has to be brought back into preaching the gospel, because there just too many people that have salvation in Christ, but they're still in some sort of bondage. And that was me. I was in bondage for many, many, many years until the Lord got to me. The problem was I had a broken heart. So once I brought that broken heart to the Lord and he healed me, it thrust me way just into a whole new walk with the Lord. So let's look at the heart-mind link. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice there, hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, in fact, that was the verse that God used to get to me that I needed to be praying for the mind. That was the exact verse. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep or assure your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hearts and minds. Years back, if you asked me how much of our thinking is done by our hearts, let's say, percentage-wise, I'd say, 20, 30 maybe. You know, how much is done by the mind? The rest. You know, 70, 80%. However, through the years, I've come to clearly realize that the majority of our thinking is in the mind, is in the heart, folks. It's amazing, amazing about the importance of how we function with our heart. So our heart is really what we are. It's a core, it's our core being, what our heart is. And it's easy to be offended and to damaged. And the healing of our broken heart is not necessarily a one-time event. It can be, but the healing of the broken heart might be, something could come into our life that could really hurt us in a real way, break our heart, and that's knowing the Lord. We may have been walking with him for many years. We have to turn to him and say, Lord, my heart is broken over this, like this issue. Please heal my broken heart. Please. And in this case here, it may be realized we have strongholds in the mind, and asking the Lord to deliver us from strongholds in the mind. So remember this, God heals hearts, but he destroys strongholds. Heals hearts, but destroys strongholds. Hebrews 10:16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Now notice here where the law goes. I'll put my laws, that's my word, into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. So God's word has to be in two places in us, our heart and our mind. And that's critically important. The heart, like repentance, it's very important that true repentance comes from the heart. So we need an interaction between our heart and mind. It's strange, folks. We're very complex beings like that, because we can be think we're thinking with our mind, but it's actually our heart. It's like I said, we're complicated. Our heart and our mind work together, but yet they're separate. In Romans 1:21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became, now look at this, vain in their imaginations. That's their thought, the mind, thought process in the mind. And their foolish heart was darkened, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. So this is written to people that knew God. But whatever happened, they turned from like worshiping him as God. And then they became unthankful. And the Bible says, and became, then what happened was, they both became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Vain in their imaginations. Now, vain, there, you don't hear this, that word too much anymore. Basically here, when I'm teaching, it probably is the only place you hear it. But back in the day, it was a common word. Vain meant, someone that loved themselves, and it meant something that was empty. You know, oh, that person's vain. Well, it could be they love themselves, but it could be like empty also. Now, the root word for that is idolatry. So what it is they became lovers of their own selves, folks. Really. But became vain in their imaginations. That means they became lovers of themselves more than God. And what's the result of that? Their foolish heart was darkened. So as they turned away from God, they got further and further away from God. And then their heart, the mind became vain imaginations. And then the heart responds to that, and the heart becomes alienated from God. So there you can see the heart, mind working together. And the mind can lead the heart into darkness with really no way out. Now, there's a process when we became vain in our imaginations, verse 23 says, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to the corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So when their heart became darkened, what they do, they became pagans and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like corruptible man. So what that means is they begin to worship themselves and worship, they make up men gods. The Egyptians made up Pharaoh as God. The Babylonians made Nebuchadnezzar as God. The Romans made Caesar as God. I'm trying to think. The Greeks never really made the Romans. The Greeks never directly. Well, let me see how I can word this. Let me think this out. The Greeks worship men, but not men on earth. Their gods, the Greek gods, were fashioned like real men, but they weren't on earth that they were worshiped, the Greek gods. That's the best way for me to explain it. And so what happened was they turned away from worshiping the true God, and they began to worship man. And then they went from worshiping man to animals. And then at the end, creeping things. The Egyptians worshiped all sorts of bugs and that. It's all part of their God. Amazing to see that, folks. Amazing how the slide can be very quick away from God, folks. You know, it doesn't take 10 generations or anything like that. It can happen within one generation. Verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts
to dishonor their own bodies between themselves.
So what happened was when they turned away from God, they became unclean, or the sin nature takes over. And so what happens is here, the lusts take over them.
Okay.
And they begin to, as you read more of this here, they begin to turn to homosexuality. And then verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate minds to do things which are not convenient. Convenient there means suitable. So they go from knowing God to their hearts being hardened against God. And once that happens, they start animal worship. They will have...
So God gives them over to a reprobate mind. And that's sort of the end of the line, folks. The reprobate mind will worship, accept homosexuality, and maybe actually engage in it. The reprobate mind is completely alienated from God. There's really nothing good in a reprobate mind, as far as God's concerned. So they started off knowing God and then end up with a reprobate mind. Sad. But that's the course of man away from worshiping the Lord. Is man to get goes like creaming downhill right to a reprobate mind.
Now our heart thinks. We don't think it thinks, but it does think, folks. Well, let's look at a few scriptures about our heart. God saw Genesis 6:5 that man, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So here, at the time of the day of Noah, man's mind was so evil that that's all it thought upon was sin. No need to talk about anything else. They were completely given over to sin. That's really sad, folks. To love sin, the love of money is the root of all evil. But to have a mind, or a heart, no, excuse me, a mind that can only think of sin.
Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things.
So here is another scripture about the heart thinking. That's that interaction with the heart and the mind. It's amazing to see that, folks.
Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the heart here is very important to our thinking process, but the mind cannot be overlooked. There are tremendous things in the mind that also interact with us that is very important. It's, you know, we can be deep into sin through our mind.
So the thinking process is very complex. The things that make us who we are is education.
You know, how did we do in schools? How effective was education? Now, education can be good or bad. We can send kids to school and they can do very well. Not so much anymore. Back in the day when I was in school, there was still prayer and Bible reading. That was thrown out of school in 1963. And I didn't graduate till 66. So it was like 3 years. So it was 18, 15. It's probably in the ninth grade when that happened. I remember vividly. It was a huge in America about separation of church and state. So now, you know, there's a lot of criminal activity in school that wasn't there years ago. Life experiences is very big. Things that we come across in our life, things we experience, both good and bad. Education can be good and good or bad. You know, being educated in the things of God, like going through school, is tremendous. We could have tremendous life experiences. the culture we're in. I see that right now in Pakistan and in Kenya preaching how different cultures, folks, different cultures. Now, generational, good or bad, Pastor Fred is the one on this. He went to Kenya. No, he went to New Guinea, and he was a missionary there for many years. And his father had been a pastor, and his grandfather had been a pastor, and six or seven generations going back, Pastor Fred's family were all ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there's like a good thread to it, and it comes down to him. And he accepted the calling and became a missionary to New Guinea. And now he pastors a church. So, yes. Now, that can be broken, folks, a bad, sinful background and its effect on us. That can be broken. It's like a curse that comes down the generations, good or bad, folks. Good or bad. So the bad we want broken in Jesus' name. We can have complete victory and protection over that. Now, being belief in truth or lies definitely can affect us. Fear and unbelief definitely affect us. And then another one now was addictions. I mean, fentanyl has got a number of people I haven't heard lately. The fentanyl thing has seemed to have died off a little, that it's not getting so much attention anymore. But there was like, I think, 75,000 people a year dying from fentanyl overdose. Some huge amount. Incredible, folks. Addictions, I mean, even knowing how dangerous these drugs are, people are so desperate they'll take them. And unfortunately, a number of them have passed away as a result of taking fentanyl. So the addictions completely take over our mind and our thinking. Then we should have the Word of God in our mind. And the way we do that is memorize and meditate on your Word, on God's Word. That get the Word deep in us. And when we get the Word deep in us, it can never be ripped out, never. But yeah, many, many, many are addicted. And I look at that addiction as self-medication. There are numbers of people suffering from loneliness, deep, deep, deep loneliness. Numbers of people that are suffering from fear, and some with depression and anxiety. Do they kind of go together? Depression and anxiety kind of go together. So we need to have our minds set free from bondage. And that's what Christ came to do, heal our hearts and preach deliverance to those that are in bondage. And the deliverance comes from the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Just swimming across I don't know if that's the right word, but we need that power to break strongholds in our minds, folks. Now, without the power, the church is kind of going into self-helps. You know, 10 steps to this, 8 steps to that, Christian psychologists, and all of this are like a substitute for the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. That's where the victory comes in our lives, through the resurrection power and through the Holy Spirit. That's where victory comes into our lives. Then that's permanent victory. It's not like we get victory now and then 2 or 3 months later we're back into the same sin and bondage and all. No, God, the resurrection power is permanent. Breaks that in our lives. But anyways, in meditating, there's 2 verses. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then I will make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. Great blessings in meditating because the word and the spirit go together. And you meditate on the word of God, and the Holy Spirit is there along with you. And that's when he shows us things and gives us victory and overcoming. And then the second one is Psalm 1, verse 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He shall bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What promises saturating our mind in the word of God. And the word takes root. And the power of the Holy Spirit is there. As we grow in the word, we grow in the spirit. I'm going to skip this as the word of God is a seed for now. So I mentioned this just a little bit earlier, that there are so many people today that are taking legal and illegal drugs. So many folks. And what I think the vast majority are self-medicating with the drugs. I don't think they started off like that. And I don't think they're taking it now, thinking it's self-medication. But that's what's happening. The people come from busted families, full of fear, full of rejection, full of loneliness. And the drugs give them the feeling of being delivered from it. So that's what they do. They're self-medicating. What they need is to have Christ as their Savior, have their hearts healed, and then their minds here. Preach deliverance to the captives. Have their minds set free. So what happens is we have a healing of a broken heart, and then the mind set free. And that's when there's powerful discipleship of the Lord. I mean, really powerful. Hearts healed, minds set free. And that's walking in the newness of life. So what the big motivating drive in this, or force in this, is fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So fear can keep us in strong, strong bondage. Because like I said, fear is it's not just an emotion, but there's negative, powerful spiritual forces behind it. And fear, well, let me read that verse. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So the Lord is, he's right there, folks, waiting to set people free from fear. But if we're not set free from fear, it robs us of God's power, it robs us of God's love, and it robs us of a sound mind. People will do almost anything to get out from fear. So we could be at an outing. I'm trying to think of, like, we could be at, we'll say, a gas station, and fear is the irrational, and it lacks a sound mind. And we can, I'm stumbling around here. I want to tell you an experience with me. That's really what I want to do here. When I was an agent in Pennsylvania, in Harrisburg, part of my territory was southern Pennsylvania near the Maryland border. And I covered that. So fairly often I was in that area. Now, on my own, I never would go in there. There was no need for me to go there. So when I went there, there was a gas station I used to stop at. And I would get gas if needed. And they made, like, real good homemade iced tea. So I'd always get a cup there of unsweetened iced tea with lemon. That was a ritual of mine for, let me see how many years, about 10 years. And then I retired, and I had no need whatsoever to go back down into that area of Pennsylvania. But something came up. I don't remember what it was, but I had to go down into that area. And I was driving down the road, and I looked over, and there was that gas station I used to go to. And then all of a sudden, spirit of fear rose up in me. It made me feel like I was back in that job again. And I could feel it. It was right at the edge of being a panic attack. So as it rose up in me while I was driving, I said, God has not given me the spirit of fear, the power and love of sound mind. I began to confess 2 Timothy 1:7. And I could feel that spirit of fear leaving me. I could actually feel it. It had like swelled up in me, up through my chest and like into my head. I could feel the thing. And then all of a sudden it went down, down, down. And it was like the Holy Spirit was pushing it out of me. And that's the clearest thing I think I've ever had to a panic attack. It didn't last long, but at the time it felt like it did. But overall, it didn't last long. And I was set free. I never had anything close to that again. Not even a little smidgen of it. But there's the spirit of fear, folks. And that's the spirit of fear that jumped all over Peter the night the Lord was arrested. He needed the power of the Holy Spirit in his life to subdue that and to live in the power of the Holy Spirit and not the flesh, with that fear lurking in it. So I didn't have a sound mind in this. I didn't work there anymore. This was a year or two later. I was in that area. For what reason, I don't remember. But it was like brought me back to think I was still working there. And I had a report due or something urgent. That was always the case like that. So it took, like I said, I don't know, 15 seconds or so. And then I could feel the power receding out of me. And at that point, God had given me victory because I never had anything like that again since. But that's the spirit of fear. Tremendous power on us if we let it. But we have victory in the name of Jesus over that spirit of fear. Now, the spirit of fear, look at this in Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit of bondage again to fear. What a big link that is. Fear and bondage all going together. The spirit of bondage again to fear. But we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So what a victory we have in our life with living with God as our Abba, Father. Direct correlation between how much we live with the Lord. Direct correlation between a victory over fear and bondage and freedom in Christ. As we walk free from the law of sin and death, but we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit in the, with God as our Abba Father. And it's also connected with, Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Free from the law of sin and death. So important that we're in freedom, not bondage, because that bondage can make us do things we never thought we would do with fear.
Fear motivating or working in our lives in bondage. It's a powerful force. And again, I go back to Peter. Peter made all promises to the Lord in the Gospels. Others will leave you, but I never will leave you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That
is kind of, it becomes irrelevant with fear. So we, in the name of Jesus, we cannot be intimidated by fear. Now, Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part in the same, that through death he might have the power of death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them through the fear of death for all their lifetime subject to bondage. So what, according to the scriptures, what is the big hold that the devil has over us? The fear of death. And that's why Peter ran. There's no doubt he loved the Lord and all of that. And Peter wasn't the only one that ran. But they, when Jesus was arrested, they knew that he faced the cross. And being his disciple, they might have to face the cross also with him. And that fear rose up and Peter denied it. And what was it? Death. Hebrews 12:15 says that they overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony and love not their lives unto death. Right there, God's showing us that openness there, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, of power, love, and of a sound mind, that we can have victory against the spirit of fear operating in us, and especially that bondage. We're all their lifetime subject to bondage. Well, we can, as we grow with God as our Abba Father, we grow close with Him, and the closer we grow with Him, the less impact fear has on us. Because the more we grow with love with Abba Father, the greater distance, that there's like a formula. Growing closer to God as our Abba Father means we are shrinking away from the power of fear. Very important what fear can do in our minds, folks. The bondage it can bring. We lose a sound mind over fear. All right. Let me see what time it is, because I want to make sure I've got time for. I'm going to skip a little ahead, folks. Actually, not too far ahead. This is a real important section of scriptures. Ephesians 4:22, 23, and 24. That you put off concerning the former behavior, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, semicolon. So Paul is telling us here, we put off the former behavior, the sinful behavior of the old man. That's our old sinful nature, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. So, and then it says here, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, verse 23. So Paul is telling us to not be in bondage to the old man with his sinful lust, but to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And notice here, to put off the old man and be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we're to put off the old man that's deep into sin, sinful, fearful lust, and it keeps us in bondage. We're to stay away from that. And we're to put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we have to put on the new man. That's why the renewing of the mind is so important. There's a bridge between the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and the new man, then you put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The bridge for that is to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. To be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Very important to you. So even though huge amounts of our life is dealing with our heart, yet look at that verse, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So if we're not renewed in the spirit of our mind, we remain in bondage. And the old man can have a field day in us. We can't get over that bridge to the new man, which after God is made in righteousness and true holiness. So very important that we cross that river and walk with God. There's tremendous blessings. Walk with God as our Abba Father and not stay in bondage. And not having our mind renewed and staying in bondage. All right. I think I covered what I wanted to cover here. So the big thing is that mind of ours to be renewed, and that we live in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we don't develop like a reprobate mind. We stay focused on God. We stay with God as our Abba Father. And when we do that, our mind is strong, and there'll be no fear attached to our mind, and we need to be renewed so that drugs or self-medication is not needed. We're free. If the Son, therefore, shall set you free, you're free indeed. So I think that's enough for tonight. But that Romans there, 4:22, 23, and 24 are really, really important. Being renewed in the spirit of your mind. And how do we do that? We do that by the impartation of the word into us in the spirit. And we stand in the spirit and the word in us. And the word begins to take hold in our life. And we grow victorious over it. And plus prayer. Prayer is very important in this. Very, very, very important. So let's see who we have here with us. We have Paula Jean and Sister Rita. Okay, Paula Jean, hello.
Hi. I really value the teaching tonight.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good. It's that there's reminders, and then you're adding a little something, the healing of the mind. And I thought that's really, really good.
Yes. It's probably 70-30% heart, but the mind can really hang us up if we're not freed in our mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It can really, really hang us up.
So thank you so much.
Okay. I hear a little squeaking. Is that your knees?
That's the chair I'm sitting in. It's a recliner chair.
I thought maybe that was your knees. All right. We have to have a good laugh, don't we?
Oh, yeah. I'm willing to laugh at it.
All right. And then we have, where did Sister Kathy go? No one knows. All right, Sister
No,
Kathy.
But she gets phone calls, you know. I mean.
Oh, Sister Kathy. Yeah, there's
some different programs, too.
Hmm.
All right, Sister Sharon, any comment?
Yes, this has always been one of my favorite teachings that you do. And I know at first I could not grasp the idea of the mind and the soul and the heart stuff that when you used to teach that, or when you do teach that, and I just really had a difficult time with that.
Say that again. What did you have a difficult time with?
With when you're talking about teaching about the mind, the heart and soul connection.
Yeah, no, that's for everybody. Sister Sharon. I don't know where the heart begins and the spirit ends and all of that.
Right.
Right. Our mind and our heart. We're very complicated beings. Very complicated.
Yeah, me too.
So what I did, Sister Sharon, I just stopped thinking about it.
Right.
You know, it's right. There. It's complicated.
Yeah.
And where does the mind end and the heart begin and all? You know, so I just don't really think on it anymore because I exhausted trying to figure it out.
Okay, well, you know, you just made me feel better.
Ah, that's cool. That's fine.
Yeah, and no, because it's a lot to think about and to try to put together. And I think what we just need to know is that we love God and that's all we need. We need God.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's normal for us to be a little digging into it, but I just found as a dead end, I couldn't figure out where the mind ends and the heart begins. I just couldn't do it.
Right. I got you.
All right. Anything else you have to say?
Okay. I'm sorry. I missed that.
Sister Sharon, anything else you have to, you want to say?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm done.
Okay.
I'm not catching what you're saying. I'm sorry.
All right. We'll switch over here to Rita. Rita, any comments?
Okay.
I just said I was blessed by your teaching tonight, Chaplain John.
Good. Thank you.
No, I thank you for bringing it and bringing it to us and all the hard work that you put in to bring it, to teach it.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Well, like I said early on, there was a certain amount of people that no matter how much I prayed for healing a broken heart, they couldn't get victory. They said, I know my heart's healed, but there's something else wrong. And then the Lord led me into the mind. So now I don't even hesitate. I pray for the healing of the broken heart and the mind. You know, actually, the mind is to destroy strongholds in it. God heals the heart, but destroys strongholds.
Right.
Yes. Well, one of my most favorite verses in the Bible is that the one that you just stated tonight was that I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind.
Amen. Yeah, that's a powerful verse because fear touches all of us till we grow in deep love with God as our Abba Father, and then fear fades away. Fear fades away.
And then another verse, I don't know if I'm quoting it right, but it says, sin shall not have dominion over you.
Yes, no. That's in Romans 6.
Okay.
That's in Romans 6. And then we have Eve here. Thank you, Rita. We have Eve here. Hello, Eve.
Hi, Chaplain John. How are you tonight?
Tired.
Yeah, I heard what's her name's creaky knees.
Ah.
I like that. Well, I was listening for like almost a half hour because I came home. I had to do some babysitting, and yes, it's a very excellent teaching, and that's where I believe it really helps. It ministers to me even again as often as I heard it, even when I was younger, but now that I'm over 55, and it makes even more sense now. Takes a while. Don't ask me why, but I know that the Lord says that He divides the soul from our spirit and the bone from the marrow. And I know you've touched a little bit on that before about the bone from the marrow but the soul from the spirit, our spirits are born again. I know that. And our soul is what we have to, our mind and our soul. Our souls, I think, got to get healed up more in our minds. We have the mind of Christ, and that, and God says to that we are transformed by renewing our minds. So, I don't know, but I think like lately, these quite a long time, it's been a like a daily battle for me, like at least 30 years. And yeah, it wasn't like this, but I think if we don't stay focused, that's another big thing, and understanding how to stay focused, getting discipleship, getting disciple, learning the word really, and dividing the word correctly. But sometimes as believers, we don't really understand how to divide the word correctly. I mean, we get, but the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth, but still, it does take time. And I think we could learn quick if we really put our commitment and our hearts to it. But sometimes the things in life or the enemy, you know, he's like real sneaky and subtle at times and can make us over busy. And then I think that's part of it too, like, and then being, I guess they call it Christianese, like you want to do, you want to say yes to everybody, but that's not a really good true balance. So I really like that, the teaching tonight. I think it's helping us to grow more and, you know, to, like you said, focus is a big thing. And sometimes the things in our lives, like, oh, you got to do this, or you got to do that, or you got to have your house a certain way, or stuff like that. But I really love the teaching tonight. So thank you, Jeff and John. It was really, good. Really well,
thank
beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's wonderful. Okay. Are everybody, that's, I think I covered everybody. Let me take a look. Yep. So, Rita, would you select a song for us, please?
Oh, I'd be glad to. Redeemed by the Gaither Vocal Band.
Thank you. Redeemed? It's just Redeemed.
Yeah, just Redeemed. R-E-D-E-E-M-E-D. Just Redeemed.
Redeemed live. Okay, we'll try this one.
So happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. I shall see in his beauty the King in whose law I delight. lovingly guards every footstep and gives me a song in the night.
Tired folks, so it's time to call it a night. God bless everybody. Now tomorrow morning we'll have prayer at 10 a.m. Eastern, and then tomorrow night we will have more Bible teaching on 1 John. We're in the second chapter of 1 John. I know Sharon likes 1 John.
Me too.
Okay. Sharon's still there? Yeah, she's still there. Okay. All right. Well, everybody, I know I like 1 John. So we'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing. God bless everyone. It's a good day. It's a good day for me. I really was blessed today. So in that Revelation teaching, they really, really responded tonight. It was like they could see the structure of Revelation now. All right. God bless you.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave life everlasting, gave life everlasting, his life everlasting, his life everlasting. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his only begotten Son.